The Campbell Group has teamed up with PI Perspectives to offer listeners top-notch, affordable insurance solutions. Private investigators can get insurance for their business for as low as $305 per year. Apply now at PIPerspectivesInsurance.com and receive a quote back within 24 hours. Over the past year, our industry has been the target of foreign governments and agencies that have attempted to recruit unsuspecting investigators to gather intelligence or immediate expatriates. PI Perspectives is teaming up with the Federal Bureau of Investigations to get the word out about this ongoing crisis. If you've been contacted by an individual or company that might seem suspicious, please contact the FBI at tips.fbi.gov. You can also contact the New York field office at 212-384-1000 to report suspicious activity in any state. The link is also in the show notes. Even if you completed a job and it still doesn't sit right with you, you can report this activity. The only way to stop this trend is to work together. So let's do it. Do you enjoy our podcast and the guests we bring you? Since 2019, Matt and his team have done their very best to give you amazing shows each week. If you feel like our show has helped you to be a better investigator, or maybe even inspired you to become an investigator, please let us know. We're looking for testimonials. Drop Matt an email with a recorded 20 to 30 seconds of you talking about this podcast. You can also email him something verbal about the website. His email is matthews@satellitepi.com. And if you really feel blessed for having this content, consider supporting Matt and our show by joining Investigator's Toolbox. You really have to see version 2.0. And at just 49 cents a day, it's a no-brainer. Now let's jump in to this week's episode. Congrats to Matt and the production team. This week we surpassed 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, and we want to thank you. You're what makes the show great. On today's show, we welcome Bruce Anderson. Bruce runs Next 72 Intelligence. He has extensive experience as a private investigator. Using his skill set and his relationships, he's developed a way to geolocate a subject using phone applications. This is a great alternative to a cell phone ping. There are so many great use cases for this technology, and it's cutting edge. It's another great episode. So welcome Bruce Anderson and your host, private investigator Matt Spare.
And welcome everyone to this week's episode of PI Perspectives. This is Matt Spare, your host. Today we're going to be talking about some interesting stuff, some really, really cool stuff. We have Bruce Anderson here with us today. He's from Next 72 Intelligence. We're going to be talking about phone geolocation and data intelligence. Bruce, I want to welcome you to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so great to have you. So you had blasted out a hey, hello, how you doing? This is what I do to WAD members. And it caught my eye because, you're talking about the ability to locate somebody through the data on their phone as opposed to pinging their actual number, which, you know, we know we're not allowed to do that stuff. So I reached out to you, said, hey, let's get on here and let's chat about it. So before we get into all that, why don't you introduce yourself, tell everybody who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, my background, I've been around law enforcement for a lot of years. I spent 13 years in law enforcement here in Florida. I live in the Tampa, Florida area, and spent 13 years in law enforcement. I retired from there as a detective up in Alachua County. And then in 2010, I started an agency, Cyber Investigation Services, that was before cyber. You know, you could Google cyber and find anything cyber.
Right.
And so we were an early adapter there, and that agency grew out to be a very successful agency. We worked over 1,000 cases of one-off type cases, and my brother was a partner in that particular agency that still exists. But we kind of branched from that into a brand protection agency, and we got a robust platform for doing brand protection of unauthorized sales of legitimate product on Amazon, eBay, Walmart, Google Shopping, that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of the background there. But I also have been very technical, being in the cyber investigation world, and most of my career as a PI has been either finding people that don't want to be found, or identifying those people that don't want to be identified, as well as running down money that had been stolen for, you know, large type cases. And so that's kind of where my world has been. I retired from that company and have been, you know, very busy golfing and fishing and in my retirement world. I had established another agency a couple of years ago, Next72 Intelligence. And that was really just because I've been in business long enough. I kept getting people calling me and going, "Hey, can you solve this?"
Right.
And so I kept it open and been able to, you know, be able to piece all that together. And so one thing led to the other, and which then, you know, in staying relevant and current with what's going on in the world today is where we were able to come across and develop this capability as far as the phones are concerned. So that's a little bit of my, you know, my background there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, sure. It's amazing how technology changes, right? So you talk about like, oh, well, cyber, you know, didn't really exist 12, 13 years ago, or the popularity of it. People didn't really understand that side of it. To see how the investigative community has just taken off and really grasped the, all the intelligence that's out there, you know, whether it be freed, whether it be paid. And I know, like, I like to go, Cynthia Hetherington has a conference called Osmosis that, you know, we highlight on this show, and I like to go.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Cynthia.
Yeah. Yeah. So like attending that stuff and seeing like the latest technology that's out there, it's so great. It's one of the few conferences that I really actually sit in on all the presentations, turn my phone off. Like I'm unavailable. Cause I want to know what's out there and what the latest things are. And anytime I see something pop up, that's kind of new, I want to know about it. Now it's not necessarily going to be something that I use for my own business. 9 times out of 10, the type of investigative work I use, it doesn't really justify, but I still like to know about it. Because you do get those phone calls, and you know, it's always better to know the guy or girl than be the guy or girl. You know, and you just kind of
absolutely. I do the same thing on other stuff, you know, they're just stay in my lane and do what I know how to do well.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and as we're in this community, right, as we're building our experience, we're learning about these new databases that are out there, we're learning the new latest and greatest things. One of the other things that we're doing is we're going to events and we're networking and we're meeting people. And we're meeting people that have the ability to do things that we don't do, right? And some of those people have like 3-letter words next to their, like where they used to work, right? Right. And those are relationships, right? So when you start meeting those types of people, and you know, whether they're face fronting front people, or they're back office people that do all the heavy lifting with the investigative work, like these are people that have a certain skill set. And you know, a really good investigator, somebody who knows how to take those relationships and work them to your advantage and create that rapport, so when you have the opportunity or the idea to do something, and now you know somebody who can help you bring that to light. And I feel, you know, just chatting, you and I chatted before we turned the recorders on, just understanding how this idea was born and how you brought it through. It seems like you've reached out to many different resources to make this thing work, right?
That's true. Didn't even know it existed. You know, I said, we've been, finding and locating people for years, and some things we use, you know, starting out years ago still works very well, which involves social engineering type stuff. Mm-hmm. and you know, and I've had ability to, you know, find a phone, you know, here and there. But this was an absolute game changer for me when I first got exposed, and that's really what I sought out to do. I sought out to say, how do I get better intelligence on how to find someone, not just in the US, but worldwide?
Yeah.
And didn't know it existed. And so I started banging around some of the doors of relationships that I've had over the years, and a couple of folks that came out of one of the three-letter agencies, and in terms of data engineering, and developed a pretty cool capability to utilize application data, which was on all of our phones. We are emitting geolocation 24/7, and we know all the time that we get ads that come up when you just talked about it with your wife today, and go, "Well, wait a minute, that where? How did that happen?"
Stupid sofa
So,
ads.
so, so all of this stuff is you're going, and so anyhow, is being able to take that and then grab that information that you've emitted, which is public information, and purchasable. But it's what you do with that information and how you turn that big data into something useful from an investigative component that is the magic from there.
So before we jump into all that, because I do want to jump into it, let's rewind a little bit and let's talk about the misconceptions about cell phone pinging and that whole technology that used to be out there, because this is not cell phone pinging at all. But let's talk about what that is, what it was used for, and obviously we can't do it anymore. So let's kind of break it down a little bit.
Yeah, the cell phone pinging world, was that the telecoms, and there were a variety of ways people did it. You know, some people had developed back doors through SS7 into telecoms worldwide, and some people in some countries policed it, and others didn't. And you know, in the U.S., some of the telecoms were providing that information, and you know, it was mostly designed for law enforcement to be able to, you know, locate an individual, distress calls, 911 calls, those kind of things. And then, like I said, the you know the then it became where you can't do that unless you at least you have permissible uses. There's still people that do have relationships, legitimate relationships in telecoms, for the right kind of scenarios that you can get that information, but it's got there's so many hoops you got to go through that. And honestly, that what I found was that for the PI, it's not that useful because it's a one moment in time, you know, that you're at, as opposed to what law enforcement able to do. They're able to follow that phone, right?
Right. Yep.
Whole different animal. And so yeah, that world is just very, you know, is very difficult to use, utilize, and do it legally and all that kind of stuff.
I was actually chatting with a friend of mine recently, and his wife left her phone in a restaurant, right? And it disappeared. And they had to find my iPhone
Right.
app on there, right? So they started using the app, and it was pinging, like the phone was showing up, and they're like, what are we going to do? Like we kind of know where the phone was, right? And it was a whole big thing, right? And I told my buddy, I was like, listen, just let it go. I mean, it's not worth it. Who knows, criminal elements or whatever. And he's like, yeah, no, my wife's just so determined to get this phone back, right? So like,
Pictures.
yeah, so she ends up like filing a police report, and now all of a sudden the police are involved and they're setting up a sting, right? And they like made an arrangement to
Wow.
like from out of nowhere, the person who had the phone reached out to my buddy and was like, I have your phone, you know, let's meet up and, you know, give me a reward if you want, right? One of those deals, right? So he goes to show up to the meeting, this guy, and they got this whole sting operation set up. And as the guy's walking in, I guess he had a whiff that something was happening. And he turned around and went the other way and never showed up for the meeting. And then my friend's wife got a phone call from the restaurant that she was at. And they were like, oh, somebody turned your phone in. You know, we have your phone here for you. And I'm like, the dishwasher stole the freaking phone. Up
the- Smart guy.
Yeah.
So, I actually had that happen to me. It's very similar. My wife and I, several years ago, had gone to a movie, and my phone fell out of my pocket while I was in the movie and fell down. And I, you know, I get in the car and get home, and I go, oh my gosh, I left my phone, and, you know, went back to the movie theater, wasn't there. And we wound up, I had to find my phone, found the house, and I did go to the house. Oh, my bad. We were going to turn that in.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to return it. Yeah, we're just waiting for you to call us, right?
Thanks. Just hand it over, pal. So, yeah. But you know, the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, we talk about, you know, in some states, GPS trackers on cars and all that kind of stuff are legal. Some aren't for PIs. And but you got a GPS tracker sitting in your pocket all day, every day.
So you bring up an interesting point, right? So if let's say you're tracking one of these individuals that's in a state that doesn't allow trackers, like is there any kind of implications where the investigator could potentially get in trouble for that or no?
No, because you're not putting a tracker, on anybody. This is data that they have given permission on their phone to gather. And like it or not, people sell that data.
Yeah. So there's no expectation of privacy or anything like that.
No.
It's interesting. Okay. So I want to, good place to take a break here. So I want to jump out real quick. And when we come back, I really want to kind of dive down into this and get a better sense of what this service is and what it particularly does. And just to be clear, this is not a software or anything like that. This is a service that, through Next 72 Intelligence, you guys are offering. So everybody sit tight and we will be right back.
After 4 years of development, Scope Now is proud to announce the release of Grid. Grid combines OSINT with real-time physical data to achieve new levels of intelligence gathering. Grid supports over 50 data types and hundreds of thousands of sources. Upgrade your OSINT capabilities with Grid and elevate your intelligence team today at scopenow.com. Check out the PI Institute of Education at piinstitute.com. Since 1989, Kelly Riddle has been teaching on subjects such as surveillance, nursing home investigations, insurance fraud, domestic investigations, hidden assets, and accident scene investigations. The PI Institute of Education is a featured learning partner in the investigatorstoolbox.com. So check out the free content on the site, then visit the Institute for more great savings on additional classes. Specializing in the research of liability for personal injury claims, Pacific Liability Research offers insurance assessments of all applicable liability coverages to help determine what a case is potentially worth. Have a case with no insurance policy? Since 2019, the highly trained staff on their insurance discovery team has located over 100 million plus in previously unknown insurance coverage. They offer a full refund for any inaccurate results, and they do not charge for no-hit searches. Additionally, Investigators Toolbox members automatically receive 50% off their first case. Just mention Investigators Toolbox when you fill out your first order. More information can be found at PacificLiability.com. Contact them today and discover the immediate impact that Pacific Liability Research can provide. Satellite Investigations has launched its new website full of great new content. Matt and his team have released some great informative blogs. Make sure you log into LinkedIn and follow Satellite Investigations for the latest content.
And welcome back to PI Perspective. This is Matt Sperry, your host. We're here with Bruce Anderson. Bruce is from Next 72 Intelligence. We were talking about phone geolocation and data intelligence. I told a very lame story before we took a break about my friend's iPhone disappearing and using Find My iPhone. And we were talking about GPS tracking and how that this is not in violation because you're not putting anything on anyone's phone. You're essentially just retrieving the data that the end user of the phone hasn't consented to allow that data to be collected, right?
Right.
Bruce, welcome back to the program. Interesting stuff. Yeah, we talked about phone pinging before and the difference between that. So essentially, if I'm understanding this correctly, there are applications that are on your phone. Everybody's got apps on their phone, and those apps are collecting data. Even though we don't think they're collecting data, they're actually collecting data. And then now this data has been made available, and the system that you have is taking that data and analyzing it, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So what are some of the use cases that you see for this type of service you guys do?
Yeah, it's a good question. They're really, I'll talk about a few, but if you, as we said right before the break, is that when you think about it, there are people who are, you're walking around with a GPS tracker in your pocket. So the use cases are as broad as you needing to know what that person with the GPS tracker in their pocket's doing, right? From an investigative viewpoint. And so an obvious one, a lot of people do, a good chunk of the PI industry is surveillance, right? And so a couple of different,
What's tracking you, Bruce? Turn it off.
It's off, but it was in my my hearing aid picks up the phone ringing in there. Gotcha. So even though it's on silent. So take surveillance. I'll give you a couple of different scenarios we did recently. One is infidelity. Mm-hmm. And I think my husband is doing whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so fine, you get the data on that phone and you can see exactly where he's been, and you can see that he's going to work and he's going to tennis and he's coming home, or you can see whatever else he might be doing, that you might suspect of infidelity, down to what address is he going to, frequently, and et cetera. And, a little bit more investigation there, and, oh, that's this girl and who is that, so you can start to piece together investigation pretty quickly.
Right.
And you haven't left your office yet, and you know exactly the pattern of that individual and what they do, where they go eat, all kind of things.
And it goes back 3 years, correct?
Goes back as far back as 3 years.
Okay.
Most of the cases don't need that data that far back, but it is available in terms of, how much you want to pull and why.
Okay.
That's a scenario. There's another surveillance issue is, had a couple of people call me last week, and they had a guy that they had been setting up on his house for close to a month. He's a trucker, so travels a lot. And says, we've got a set up on him, but we can't find him.
Yeah.
And we figured it out and isolated his phone. Knew exactly, and while he had a private truck, we knew who he was picking up for there, and knew that the adult bookstore that he liked to go when he got off work. And, you knew everything about him. Says, okay, go find him here. Another scenario we did last week was a attorney got fired from a large corporation. They've been setting up on his work and home for almost 3 months. And consequently, what we wound up doing is running that information backwards, and found him in an Airbnb down on the beach. Yeah. In California. And so it's just good information there, to be able to have. So that's, some cases, use cases there, but it's really, how do you find someone, or how do you save a lot of time? And so, for instance, if you do a lot of surveillance, you want the money shot, then okay. If you know that history, then you know already where to set up. So as opposed to spending 2 weeks running around trying to gather data and do all that, you can start from a, from a strong position.
Right. We're all creatures of habits, right?
Yeah, right. Everybody. And here was another use case I had. Someone had called me. They had been trying to serve this guy with a warrant and also a civil subpoena for a very large fraud case. And the guy had been arrested and so and had zero idea, no starting point whatsoever. And I said, well, when was the last time that we know what we know this person was somewhere with that phone? Right. And well, got out of jail 8 months ago and was staying in a halfway house that reported to the courthouse for 2 weeks. It's okay. And I said, so what else do we know? And so, well, I met with this guy, 3 or 4 months back ago at McDonald's on this date. And then I know he goes to his sister's every now and then from there. So I ran all of those addresses, got the intersections of that, found the right phone. And now I know where he's sleeping.
Amazing.
And so pretty powerful in being able to locate that kind of information.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that you had talked about before we recorded also was the ability to have a location and find all the phones that are in that location, identifying particular witnesses and subjects and things of that nature, right?
That's correct. So example, I'll use the one I gave you earlier is that, let's say McDonald's got robbed 3 months ago. And now you got hired to do the investigation on that and go interview people and figure out what happened and et cetera, et cetera. And so now you could geofence that location during that period of time, tell you every phone that was there. And then you could work that backwards as to where is their home, where is their work. You can then develop a witness list, and one of them might be the robber themselves.
So do you have the ability to like drill down to a particular time? Like, does it go down to like half hour, 25 minute interval?
It goes down to a particular time that app transmitted at that location. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So if, I'm just thinking use cases here. If let's say there was a motor vehicle accident at a particular intersection, could you theoretically set up a fence and find all the
phones at that intersection at that time? Yeah.
Potential eyewitnesses. Wow, that is a game changer. Here I am. Yeah. I'm selling myself on this stuff.
It's a good bit of work. The key is this: it can be anywhere from extremely simple to very complex. I mean, you could use this for mapping out organizations of child trafficking.
Yeah.
You can use, drug trafficking, what have you. Obviously, those are much more involved and time consuming. But
oh, sure.
The other thing is that I actually did this for a friend of mine that had gotten in a domestic situation with a boyfriend and, wound up getting a restraining order, but couldn't serve him. He was dodging service. And so one advantage of that is we found him based upon, last time we knew that he was at her house. But what we also were able to do is go, tell me every time that phone has been near that house and watching the house and stalking the house.
Right.
Okay. So you can work it backwards that way. So it's really as progressive as your imagination can be. it's just how to look at that data. As I mentioned earlier, before we started the call, what's difficult about this, I wish this was as simple as just being able to enter in a phone number and here's your data, right? It's not. That's what makes it legal to be able to do. Right. Law enforcement has that capability, but upper law enforcement,
yeah, let's clarify that.
Everyday law enforcement, not so much.
Right.
But So the hard part is isolating that phone. And so I'll use an example. I take my house when I first started messing around with this, and I say, well, let's see if I can find me and what do I do? And so I zoomed around my house for a period of a month, and there's two phones in my home, right? But 12 phones show up. Why? There's other people walking around with a GPS in their pocket come to our house. And so the difficulty there then is, okay, what else do we know about our subject as to what else kind of things do they do, what other addresses, any trips they took at a certain time, so those kind of things, so that I can isolate the phone. Because the way it comes up to me is one phone name might be Orange Peel, another one Banana Peel, and another one Apple Peel, right? And you got to figure out, is it orange, banana, or apple? And once you do that, then, you know, then we're off to the races. But so that's the most difficult and time-consuming part of our investigation, is isolating that, but it's the part that keeps it legal for our use.
So what's the typical turnaround time on someone, you know, handing off an assignment to you guys and you getting results back for them?
It really varies on what I just said as to how clean of information do I have. If it's as clean as, let's just take that one infidelity. I know where he works. Okay. And I know where he lives, you know, then I can isolate everybody else. And so, for instance, in one case, I think there were like 12, no, there were more than that. There were close to 18 phones in and out of that house from there, but only one of them worked at a particular place. And, you know, so we're able to throw that out.
Is
but
your...
the time frame of that is, how long does it take me to do that? Sometimes it takes me running an initial data of the phones I know that are coming out of that house, and you know, working with the PI and then working with their client and going, all right, who's who here? And in that one, we also had to throw out four daughters that all had phones that traveled and didn't, et cetera. But it was a combination of work and a combination that played pickleball regularly that we were able to sort it out.
Yeah, well, hopefully they don't have any workers' comp cases. Problem. So are you drilling down on those telephone numbers? Are you like providing like who those telephone numbers belong to, or is that something that would be the responsibility of the investigator?
Yeah, we don't drill down. We don't drill down on the, we don't drill down on the phone numbers, you know, and what we tell someone is that, you know, if you bring a case to us, we all have TLO, IDI, you know, name your flavor. And you can look at the phone history and see how long someone's held a particular phone or what have you. And so as long as they're carrying that device, you know, then we know that's active, then should be able to locate that. But no, we don't come back with a number. We're just working with the client to figure out which one is actually the phone and going after the data of that phone, which indeed is that number. But we never have a number correlation, so I never even asked the phone number on this. With that, just need to know that the phone is, you know, is active and current. The other thing it'll do is, a lot of people carry two phones, right? It'll also show those two phones traveling together,
right?
And you know, one may be a burner phone, one may be your regular phone,
right?
Don't know, but and obviously use case and the client and all of that. And so it's strictly an investigative tool for the investigator. You know, we're not doing the whole investigation for you, but we're certainly giving you a lot of information that you can then take and utilize to further your investigation.
Actionable intelligence, right?
Actionable intelligence.
Okay, there you go. That's the way to do it, but not a silver bullet, right? So
not a silver bullet, you know, and people ask me, well, you know, what happens, you know, is it possible that you can't find it? Yes. Most of the time, phones are emitting, people are utilizing, doing that. Also depends upon what coverage is. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I mean, you're a place where your phone's not emitting, there, or you don't have service, it's not going to pick up during that particular period of time. So there can be some different variances in the data there. We find most of the cases we're able to see that data because most people have their stuff turned on whether they know it or not. In fact, the one infidelity case I was telling you about, his wife and his daughters had confronted him on cheating, and they had looked up all his stuff online and got all his information, and you know, and so he wound up theoretically turning all of his data off.
Right.
And we still found him. So, but it's possible to go blank. But it's why when we do these, you know, we're only charging if we can locate the phone from there.
Right. Yeah, that is a good point. So it's a no hit, no charge service.
Right.
Awesome. Well, this, Bruce, this has been amazing. I feel like I could probably do another hour here. we're gonna spare the audience. The name of the business is Next 72 Intelligence. If folks wanted to contact you or had any questions, how would they get a hold of you?
They can reach me at confidential@thenext72.com, and the 72 is numeric.
Right. Awesome. Great. And we'll have all that info in the show notes. Thank you for coming on and talking to us about this. And I encourage folks that if you have any questions or anything, definitely go check it out and definitely contact Bruce. So
I thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll catch everybody next time on the next show. Take care.
Thanks for checking out the show. Please make sure you follow PI Perspectives on YouTube or on your favorite podcast app. We appreciate Bruce coming on and sharing this great technology. Make sure you reach out to him to learn more. We'd also like to thank Campbell Insurance Group for sponsoring our podcast. Remember to tell them you listen to save $50 when you apply for insurance. Additional thanks to Scope Now, Pacific Liability Research, and PI Institute for Education for sponsoring us. Also, don't forget about investigatorstoolbox.com, where you can type in Perspectives50 to save $50 when you sign up. Please also follow Matt and Satellite Investigations on LinkedIn. And if you have a question about the show, email Matt at MatthewS@satellitepi.com. You can also find him on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. We'd like your feedback to bring you the best shows possible. And we'll be back next week with another show. So make sure you tune in and stay safe out there.